Ladies and gentlemen, we sit just 6 weeks from Buccaneers training camp. The Ira Kaufman podcast is always hot, but it's going to be getting hotter. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is the man, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself is the star of the show. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Sage, how are you today?
The word of the day is jubilant. Jubilant. Must I spell it for you, DeCamper? Jubilant. No. And why? Well, we are back where we deserve to be. Top 50 Google podcasts. And by the way, we're getting some nice write-ups. We do appreciate that. I told you, Nancy Grace, I told you I was coming after you. Dr. Phil, I got you in my sights. It's always a nice thing to be appreciated, my friend.
Well, Sage, your podcast is available on Google Play and at Google Podcasts. Yes, you reappeared. You reappeared last week, which was pretty cool for the end of May of a NFL podcast. Unbelievable. You were the only NFL podcast up there, believe it or not, Sage. And, of course, everybody can listen at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, other platforms, or right there at JoeBucksFan.com. And the podcast doesn't exist in its form without Bill Curry Ford, our great friends. Ira, summer's here, and we've talked about those offers changing. Well, you know what? They've changed, but in some ways, they've gotten better. They are sponsoring right now Bill Curry Ford, the Great American Recovery. Get an extra $1,000 off every new vehicle, leased or purchased. It's just their way of saying thank you. And many of the 0% financing offers have been extended. The website is BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. Bill Curry Ford, our best buddy, Sean Sullivan, the GM, Mr. Buccaneers fan extraordinaire, is always there for Bucs fans. He and I are actually planning a couple of exciting things coming up for specifically for Bucs fans. And more important, though, he will help people directly with any questions they have about buying a vehicle, selling a vehicle. This is a great time to do it, as Sean's available by email, phone, any way you can get him. And, of course, the dealership is big and beautiful, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, BillCurryFord.com. Now, Ira, there's a bonus now at Bill Curry Ford. We'll talk about that special bonus later. It involves what you like, which is food and drink. But let's get right after it. Lee, Ira, Bruce Arians, 20-something minutes, about 25 minutes talking to the media today, which I was so pleased. I mean, all of these other news conferences have been much shorter. Your big takeaway, Ira, then Lee, give me your big takeaway.
Well, my first big takeaway is that, Isbitz, you rose to the occasion today. I've waited 3.5 years for you to do so. Today you finally did. You have a tremendous knack for asking two questions at a time because you don't think you're going to get called on a second time. And this time you did get called on, and you came strong. Because instead of asking a general question about veterans and are you worried about the running back situation, no. Isbitz right for the jugular. That's what we do here at JoeBucksFan.com. We don't let anybody off the hook. Coach, what about Devonta Freeman? And the biggest takeaway of all, Steve, damn right they're interested. You better believe they're interested. If they weren't, he would have shut it down right then and there at 11:20 a.m. today. But he did not. What did he talk about? Yeah, if we can squeeze them in financially, that's a whole different ballgame than saying they're not interested. And guys, why wouldn't they be interested? We've talked about it. He is a proven guy right out of the Tom Brady mold. Third and sick, give him the ball, move the chains. Nobody's talking about Freeman becoming the primary back in Tampa, but you better believe they're interested.
My big takeaway, Arians is not looking for rookie free agents. He's looking for veterans. And he said the big reason was, no offseason. And who know? Well, I guess training camp we already know. So that was the big takeaway to me, which makes me wonder the follow-up question, which nobody got to ask, but makes me wonder, what are the Bucs going to do with the rookies they drafted? If Arians is all veteran, is he going to play the rookies a full preseason game in order to try to what they say about the virus, something to curve. Do something
flat,
less
flatten
than the curve.
Flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve. Yeah. So yeah. I wonder if Arians is going to have these rookies, you know, Tyler Johnson, for example, Winfield, Vaughn. I wonder if he's going to have these guys play like full games in the preseason to flatten the curve, the learning curve. Number two, if Arians is all about veterans, is he going to have the veterans play full preseason games? Just say, rookies, maybe you can give us some help, but we're going to rely on veterans. So to me, that opened up a door for further questions that neither I got a chance to ask or no one else asked.
And, Steve, another takeaway, albeit one that we all anticipated, and it's rather a somber one, is, you know, unless there's a change of heart, very, very unlikely, Buck fans will not have the opportunity to see this team tune up for the 2020 season. Training camp will be shut down for the public. I don't see that changing. It's a shame. It's difficult for Buck fans, considering all the hype, all their enthusiasm about the upcoming season. They're going to have to wait till the games are on television in preseason. Who knows if people will be allowed in the stands at that point. But training camp was always a great time for Buck fans to get together. I know I love to mingle with them. I think we all did. Steve, we're not going to get that opportunity this summer.
You started that by saying change of heart. I don't think it's a heart issue at all. It's a medical issue. You know, I think the Bucks want fans there, but they're playing it safe. Now, someone on Twitter earlier today, you know, I tweeted out that it's unlikely fans will be at training camp. Arian's direct quote was many fans, so they might let a select few in, social distancing, all that stuff. But one guy kind of got angry about not having fans in, and I responded. I said, never underestimate the costs of insurance premiums and legal retainers.
Yeah, Ira, it feels like maybe they'll have some VIP days for, you know, your season ticket holders, that sort of thing. Maybe each fan will get to pick, a season ticket holder fan might get to pick one day that they can come out to, and they'll do some things like that. But I've always thought we're never going to see a big crowd control kind of situation. So it is sad for the rank and file fan. I think it's a bummer for the players. I thought they fed off some of that energy. Of course, we've had some fun with these training camp takeovers in the past. But I wanted to run this by Ira. I pushed Arians on this, and he didn't answer the question. But the math doesn't lie, and it needs your sage wisdom, Ira. But first, I want to tell everybody that Big Storm Beer has got a whole bunch of summer beers coming out. You want to go to BigStormBrewery.com. There's a strawberry, a mandarin. Fantastic. They're not out fully yet, but you want to get to BigStormBrewery.com or follow them on Facebook. All the locations, the Odessa Tap Room near you, Ira, and as well as the flagship location, the Clearwater location, they've got their own Facebook pages. So does the brewery. And the summer standards are out. And, of course, the core beers, which includes your favorite, Ira, the Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, my favorite, the Bromosa Tangerine IPA. Lee loves the Wavemaker Amber Ale, which is the original Big Storm beer. So BigStormBrewery.com, get over there. We'll talk more about what's going on there later. But Ira, the dates, July 21st, that's when Arians said they'll report. Last year, they reported July 25th. First preseason game this year, August 14th. Last year, first preseason game, August 9th. That is a nine-day gap difference right there, Ira. That's nine extra days of training camp where the guys will be around. They may not be mandatory required to show up, but it's sort of, I don't know what's going on there.
You just used the perfect word, Steve. The word is mandatory. Look, these agreements between the union and the league are very specific. And we know OTAs are voluntary, and there's a mandatory mini camp in a regular year that is not voluntary. And Lee, there's certain days that you have to show up. So if you want to extend that in terms of mandatory appearances, I don't think that's going to fly, even in a crazy year like that. I think Steve's point is right. If there's an extra week somewhere in the midst before the season starts, it's going to be voluntary. Now, I think Buck officials are hoping with a new quarterback and the expectations sky high that they'll get great attendance, but they can't bank on it. Everything's different this year, Lee. That's just the way it is. The July 21st is 5, 6, 7 days earlier than normal. No question. Steve's point is right. First exhibition game seems to be a little bit later than normal. So that creates a big gap right there. But, Lee, I don't think there's any way that they're going to enforce any kind of mandatory appearance beyond what's already agreed upon in the bargaining agreement.
Perhaps not. I'm not. That's not a concern of mine. Mandatory, or that never did concern me. And I'm not really concerned about training camp either. Guys will want to be there because Brady's there. That's my guess. Motivated. They're going to be fired up. Vita Vea, Kevin O'Donnell called him at a gym. You know, we talked about that before, Ira. But Kevin O'Donnell has a nose for finding these guys out in the community. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And he found Vea at a gym that's run by Yo Murphy. Remember Yo Murphy? In wide receiver?
Absolutely.
And, you know, Vea said, no matter what anybody says, mentally they're going to be okay. But actually, on the field, they're easily going to be a week behind. Easily. Because of no OTAs. And no mandatory minicamp. So he knows, and he's chomping a bit to get out there. He's a defensive guy. He didn't play with Brady.
Steve, Lee mentioned the rookies and what kind of roles they're going to play, because Arian said several times this shortened and shrunken schedule and the elimination of OTAs and mandatory minicamp. I mean, they're going to go right into training camp, and we've never seen anything like that. And, Steve, the impact that'll have on the young players and the rookies specifically, I think it's foolish to think that this is going to stop Tristan Wirfs from starting at right tackle. You got to think Winfield is going to still be able to make his mark. But I'm looking at a Tyler Johnson, and we all thought, you know, hey, this kid's got a heck of a chance to be the third wideout when they go to multiple wideouts. And Steve, he's a guy that he's going to have less time to impress. And Arians is very curious about past, you know, the big two wide receivers, who's going to emerge there. So I got my eye on Tyler Johnson and how this short season's going to affect him.
It's a good point, Ira. Now, we did see this previously in 2011 with the lockout. We've talked about that. But the Bucs at that time mostly had young defensive players, which I think is a little bit easier on defense than the precision required to play with a Tom Brady and inside an elite offense where everybody else is a second-year receiver in the offense. That's a huge, huge burden on Tyler Johnson. So I agree with you there. But one thing that I think that's interesting, Ira, is, you know, Arians always talked last year. Lee wrote about it. I wrote about it that, you know, April, May, June, that's when he runs double OTAs and players on both fields and everybody gets a ton of reps. And that's why I've got this giant coaching staff, the biggest in NFL history. And Arian said today, 400 plus snaps have been lost already. And that's right. Just crushing for the young players. Now, I remember I asked him if there's anything specific he's doing to catch up on Zoom, anything creative that he can do online. And he said, no. I asked Todd Bowles the other day, last week, if there's anything that he can glean from a Zoom meeting of who's standing out, and he laughed, and he said, nah, no, not at all. Now, to me, honestly, Ira, I'm not knocking the Bucks here, but it sounds like they're not necessarily being very creative, because I will bet you $100, Ira, that at the end of this season or somewhere later this season, we're going to hear about a very creative plan that some teams implemented online that may be something that has other teams saying, gosh, we should have done something like that.
No question about it, Steve. You know, another topic, guys, that Arians was asked multiple questions about, and I think justifiably so, is whether Arians wanted to comment on what's going on with social justice, police brutality, systemic racism, and Arians didn't shy away, guys. He didn't. I didn't feel he was going through some kind of a mental screening process. I got to be careful what I say. I think he spoke from the heart. Arians is very involved in a lot of these things. I thought it was refreshing to hear him speak without a filter. And I think, in a way, he kind of welcomed those questions.
Yeah, I think he did. And we know his background in being very eager and aggressive, creating opportunities for minorities and for women, and he's been at the forefront, and the Glazers have as well in many, many ways. The Buccaneers have been leaders in those areas too.
I'm just going to say this. I've seen this on Twitter that people are somehow connecting that Ed Glaeser, who clearly is a Trump supporter, there's no question about that, is some kind of racist. There was a guy on Twitter a couple nights ago, the Bucks came out with some kind of statement. Hey, every NFL team, every baseball team, every hockey team, everybody's come out with a statement of a similar nature. And this guy basically was implying, whoa, what hypocrisy here. One guy, he supports Trump, and now we're doing this, and I about hit the ceiling. Number one, just because you vote for Trump doesn't mean you're Nathan Bedford Forrest. I mean, come on. Number two, name a team that's been more proactive about hiring African-Americans as coaches than the Bucks. Maybe the Raiders. So, I mean, stop. These people trying to claim the Glazers are racist because of who they support in politics. Stop it. So that's utterly ridiculous. The proof is in the pudding.
For me, I'm only speaking for me here. This Drew Brees situation, I don't think it's fair to Drew Brees. I don't think it's fair what's happened. He apparently touched off a firestorm, and he was specifically talking
about it.
Yeah, he was specifically talking about kneeling for the national anthem. He wasn't trying to say there's no racism in the NFL. He wasn't trying to say we need to do better in terms of social justice. None of that. And he's absolutely gotten pilloried. And the only point I want to make where I don't think it's fair is, how about judging somebody from his actions? And when you judge Drew Brees from his actions, he's been tremendously supportive about the community of New Orleans in so many ways, including COVID-19. You know, he's very active in the community, and I think that's gotten lost in the shuffle. I just think the blanket condemnation of Drew Brees, to me, was a little bit stunning.
Well, I got to tell you, I'll throw my two cents in on that, is that I think Brees deserved the condemnation, and I'll tell you why. Not because of what he said, but because he didn't answer the question posed to him. Okay, and he was given a very clear opportunity. It was a very relaxed interview. The guy asked him how he thinks the NFL will respond this season if players kneel during the anthem, and he was asked what is his responsibility as a major leader in the league during times like this for his teammates and other NFL players. He didn't answer the question, and I don't care where you are in the public eye. If you don't answer the question, you're a politician on either side of the aisle, or you're a spokesperson for whatever it might be, teachers union, whatever it is, if you don't answer the question, and it's an important question in the current time, then you blew it, man. And he started talking about himself. And so I think mostly people cracked down on him because, hey, Drew, you were asked about a specific issue and you were clearly sort of out of touch or unwilling to address it. And I think that's really the core of it, Ira.
Well, if Drew Brees says he would be offended by people kneeling during the national anthem, doesn't he have the right to express that view?
Well, sure, but you know what? We're allowed to say whatever we want, but there are consequences. And what he said last night, I texted Steve. I said, start the stopwatch. I said, how long is it going to take for NBC to terminate his contract? Will he last to midnight? I really thought last night we were going to see NBC issue an edict. We're parting ways with Drew Brees. We can't stand for this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I really thought he was going to be bounced. He may still be bounced. But I was waiting for it. I really was. Like, he just lit the fuse. And, yeah, you can say whatever you want. But there are consequences. And it's best when it comes to new politics, it's unless you don't care about the blowback, it's best to pull a rowdy Roddy Piper. Just when they think they know the answers, I change the questions.
I can't cry for Drew Brees on this. And I think that's why he clarified later. I didn't read all his clarifications because I don't really care what Drew Brees has to say on national social issues. He's certainly not an expert. But
yeah, I don't know who voted for him. I mean,
yeah, nobody voted for Drew Brees. You know, it's but I do think and that he invited some of this by just not answering the question, made it about himself when they weren't asking him about that. So, but Sage, I do love the turmoil on the Saints. And it's real.
I know you do.
Is Jameis going to start now?
Yeah, we are 3 months from opening day, Ira. And if players aren't being able to get together, face-to-face for a while. You know, this could be a distraction. Let's just call it that. It could be a distraction for the Saints, or worse. And they notoriously do not play well on opening day at home. And you know what? This could be an important thing for the Bucs. Maybe an edge. I don't know.
Steve, you never run out of ways to look for a crack in the Saints facade. Steve, you are an expert at it. I salute you, sir. Now, let's be honest. I mean, the guy issued an apology. What do you want from him? He issued a retraction, an apology. I assume the Saints, as a group, will accept his apology.
Seems that way. There's a lot of players who were initially very upset, saying, okay, I didn't like what he said, but he's apologized. We talked to him. So it seems like, for the most part, they're coming around. I don't know about Malcolm Jenkins, but Cam Jordan said, okay, we're cool. Michael Thomas, okay, we're cool. We didn't like what he said, but he apologized. We talked to him. We're good.
Steve can't wait to make up six games on the New Orleans Saints. Can't wait to do it. Can't wait.
Lee's killing my fantasy here. Can't they work this out on September 25th or something?
Well, maybe they'll. You know what? The way social media is, you know someone's digging through Drew Brees' 8-year-old Twitter to see if he made some kind of statement that you could twist and controversial. You know that's happening right now. You know that. And so maybe they'll find something that is remotely controversial, like he hates Cajun food, and that'll create it.
Florio's going to be talking about this for the next 10 days, gentlemen. We all know that.
Well, I also think, on that note, Lee, I wonder if somebody goes back, it's not going to be me, but I wonder if somebody goes back and looks at all of Arian's tweets and commentary as far as when players were kneeling for the anthem. What was Arian saying at the time? I don't know. I have no idea. But you might see that with a lot of coaches. I thought it was interesting. Arian's brought up the rise in child abuse deaths in the last
very interesting. He brought that up, and that is sickening.
Handful
he
of
used
months.
The word sickening, and he was right.
Yeah, his wife and he are very involved in the CASA program, court appointed special advocates that help out kids of abuse in the legal system and other kids who have just no advocate in the court system, and for whatever a variety of reasons. I bet you that was something that he and his wife had been talking about, and her gathering data on that through her channels and the what they're involved in. So, you know, there are so many, we're not a social justice podcast here, but there are so many communities that are, deal with all kinds of problems. You know, there's 28 million severely disabled people in the United States, and they deal with all kinds of discrimination, which sucks. And yeah, there's so many other groups. It's awful, Ira.
God bless Bruce Arians. He's got a big heart, guys. He's got a big, big heart. He's a two-time coach of the year, but more importantly, he's on the right side of a lot of issues.
Ira, are you saying, you know, coaches that don't win the two-time award winner coach of the year, they have smaller hearts?
Well, I'm not trying to come. I'm joking.
When you said that, I thought that was so hilarious. The way you set that up. I'm not trying to be mean or ornery. I was amused by it. You know, funny how, you know?
Well, I'm surprised you couldn't work in a Three Stooges reference over there, DeKemper. I'll give you another couple of minutes. You'll do it.
I can't see. What's the matter?
Well, you know what?
I got my eyes closed.
I don't care what Greg Schiano has to say. He's an idiot. He destroyed this team. Love it, you too. You know how it goes. Sage, got to ask you, I know you had some other impressions out of Bruce Arians. I'll just throw one out there, was that he, you know, of course, raved about Tom Brady's leadership and impact, and he was really excited about Brady holding these workouts. He didn't really offer too much. I thought maybe you'd hear more from Arians on his main man on campus. What do you think?
My takeaway is that Arians spends zero sleepless nights thinking about how Tom Brady's going to embrace his new teammates and his new offense. It's the last thing on Arian's mind. He's worried about Antoine Winfield Jr. being able to shuttle between strong safety and nickelback. He doesn't have any doubts, nor should he, about Brady and his ability to learn this playbook in about an hour and a half. I just think every time you mention Tom Brady to Arians, he says Tom will take care of it. That's his basic message. And you know what? I feel the same way.
Ira, I got to ask you something. I got to circle back to Freeman. we were talking about Freeman earlier. Now, you were just talking about, you know, Arians lies awake at night. He's not worried about Brady. He's worried about, you know, Freeman or Winfield getting on the field or whatever. Last year, anytime anybody, and it began with training camp, anytime someone asked Arians a question that ever so slightly inferred that his running backs are garbage, he got all bent out of shape. I mean, for him, he doesn't get usually bent out of shape, but he would get angry. Always got under his skin. The only time I literally have ever seen him angry is when Leo Haggerty asked him, quote unquote, about his subpar running backs. He got angry. But Freeman, if you're interested in Freeman, that tells me you're not exactly happy with your running backs.
And specifically, pass catching running backs, which we all knew was the quality, the driving quality that they looked for in terms of the draft. And again, Edwards-Helaire, I've got some inside information, gentlemen. turn up the volume, Stevie. But I got some inside information that if Edwards-Helaire had been there at pick number 45, I believe it was, midway through the second round, it would have been a very, very tough call between Winfield and Edwards-Helaire. When it came between Winfield and Vaughn, that was not a tough call. It was Winfield, we're going to wait on Vaughn. So I'm going to put it like that. Now, Steve, this is a tough point I'm about to make, and in your inimitable way, yeah, you agree with me about, 0.08% of the time. So I'm going to run this one past you, gentlemen. And I never heard Arian say this before, but in totality, guys, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but without ever mentioning Winston by name, and he never does, man, there's a lot of blame at Winston's feet from this organization. And today we heard a new wrinkle. Now, of course, we heard it in the past about how the defense was always in bad field position, the points allowed with the 7 pick sixes. That goes into, you know, points allowed and, you know, the 30 picks. But today, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically we heard how all these turnovers and leading the league in giveaways screwed up the running game. Gentlemen, here we go into phase two. So without ever mentioning Winston by name, guys, it seems that you cannot overemphasize how debilitating those giveaways were.
Phase two, what's the percentage of seating capacity is that?
Lee, you heard Arians talk about one of the problems with the running game was we couldn't run enough because we're always behind, and basically because of the giveaways.
I'm not saying he's wrong, but he always crows about that run defense being so good. Well, wait a minute. If you're behind that much, how can your defense be that good? I don't know if
he is dead wrong. He's dead wrong. I've actually run the numbers many months ago because he said it several times, Ira, and you're right. It's always a different way to throw Jameis under the bus. I'm not saying Jameis wasn't a subpar starting quarterback, but we were always trailing by 10 or 14 points, stop trailing in games. It's just not accurate. I'll revisit it next podcast. I'll pull up the
Giants
numbers
game
and share it, but it's just not accurate. So it's fun that he keeps doing that. He seems to like to do that. I wanted to call attention to an important story, Ira, that we talked about it last podcast. So we don't have to go there at all, but it's up at joebucksfan.com now. Lee wrote up Ryan Jensen's detailed quotes from the Out of Nowhere podcast when he talked about being a slacker in 2018 and just not feeling any pressure on himself and how it took him a whole year to get back to sort of trying hard. It's an important story to read for Bucks fans. And after that, they read that, they can Google Jason Light's famous quote from this offseason, "I hate free agency." And just a little point toward that. Also, Ira, Tampa 2, your show with Derek Brooks on the Identity Tampa Bay. It took a new twist. You recorded 3 episodes with Vincent Jackson. Episode 1 is at joebucksfan.com. People can watch that there. It was a good one, and I know 2 is even better. and 3 is a little bit different. So I'm excited to maybe watch those and talk about those. Bill Curry Ford, I can't say it enough, $1,000 extra off. The Great American Recovery is on with every new vehicle, leased or purchased, and they still have many of the 0% financing offers across the board for many, many, many years. So get to BillCurryFord.com. They are just taking great care of everybody. And now you can eat and drink at Bill Curry Ford. Their Big Storm Cafe is in there now. It's not Big Storm Beer. You can't get loaded all day at Bill Curry Ford and talk draft with Sean Sullivan. I know he would love to sit there and drink beer with you and talk about the Bucks, but you can get the fantastic Big Storm Coffee, hot or cold, in there. They're cold cans. We're going to get you some of those, Ira. And the food is fantastic. The Big Storm Cafe right in Bill Curry Ford's showroom, a mile north of the stadium. And Ira, we're going to set up a special plaque. There's going to be like an Ira Kaufman table in there. We're talking about some of the details of that. Very excited.
Make sure it's an extra wide seat, Steve. Extra wide seat if it's going to be a Kaufman table. Food and drink. Say no more, Steve. And, Steve, you talk about a full service at Bill Curry Ford, a little north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Steve, I'm talking to them now about switching over my automobile insurance. They're trying to save me money in that regard. So they cover all your needs.
And I wanted to bring up, Lee made a good point regarding Freeman. I don't know if the Bucks have lost confidence in the rookies, but flat out not being able to see them play, they can't gain any confidence. So, I mean, they've got Raymond Calais, who's supposed to catch the ball. Keyshawn Vaughn is supposed to catch the ball, but if they can't actually watch them catch the ball, they're not going to believe it till they see it. Lee, do you think the Devonta Freeman interest is real? Arians seemed very candid today.
I would think it's real because, you know, Arians generally is not a BSer, even though we talked about his throwing Jameis under the bus with the you know, always playing from behind. Hey, he was blunt about Tom Brady, and lo and behold, look what happened. Aaron was the Arians. He's like, he basically said, I'd love to have Freeman, but he's overpricing himself. So maybe that was a shot to Freeman's agent, like, come down a little bit and you can have a job. So I think his interest is real.
You know, Steve, from Freeman's perspective, it seems like, without knowing all the details of negotiations and chats between agents and teams, Steve, it appears, you know, Freeman, like most free agents, is going to make a decision based on compensation. Happens all the time, and we understand it. But if you look around and broaden your horizons, if you're Devonta Freeman, I don't think it's a reach to suggest that Tampa would be a very, very good landing place from Freeman's perspective.
You would think so. We mentioned that before. And, I mean, gosh, if you don't want to play in the same division as your old team with Tom Brady on an offense that just scored 29 points a year, maybe you're not the lover of football they're looking for. But it's a money deal. And you know what? Freeman's value goes up the longer this lockout stuff goes, or the effective lockout, because he's a veteran. And like Lee said, they've got two rookies that they think might be able to catch the ball. I know we're all excited about T.J. Logan, just like Bruce Arians, but you know, there are some limits here, Sage.
Hey, Steve, one thing we haven't mentioned, it appears certain that there's going to be a quarterback camp that precedes the start of training camp. Steve, did I get that wrong?
No, they're allowed to do that under NFL rules. Quarterbacks can come in a little bit earlier and do this quarterback camp. He did it with Jameis last year. Nothing strange, but, you know, Tom Brady was a guy who didn't go to OTAs for a while in New England, and it gives them more time to get him up to speed. And, you know, I can only imagine being that rookie undrafted pick, I forgot his name, who's going to walk in his first time he meets his teammates. It's him, Tom Brady, and the coach is all over him. You know, it's crazy.
I think you asked Coach Arians about his plans for using Brady in the preseason. What would you get out of that?
Well, the biggest news of the day is that they didn't only have joint practices scheduled with the Jaguars, they had them scheduled with the Titans. So that was on back-to-back weeks with back-to-back home games. That just tells you that Arians, he didn't do that last year. So he wanted that scripted work where Brady can't get drilled against good defenses, and he didn't get it. And so it's just another shot to the Bucks. I think they're going to have to roll Brady out in the preseason. How could you get a brand-new quarterback and not have him throw in any kind of action against, you know, real live NFL bodies.
Before that's going to be a real balance, Lee. That's a real balancing act, Lee.
Yeah, big time.
It's good for TV ratings because WFLA that hosts the preseason games is going to be fired up if they know Brady's going to get extra snaps. That'll keep keep the eyeballs glued. All right, Lee, Ira, any last thought before we get out of here?
This was great. I actually tweeted it out immediately, Ira. I was impressed. I was amused. Funny how. This was great. You were asking Arians about special teams.
Yes.
And in your preamble about the special teams, you start talking about place kicking. And you said, referring to this, you know, all the Saints have good special teams. And then you said, they don't miss their kicks. And I almost fell off my chair. I was laughing so hard. I mean, that spoke volumes. You telling Arians they don't miss their kicks. It's like, hello, your team's garbage with field goal kicking. What are you going to do about it?
Hey, Steve, you know what? You know what spoke even more volumes? Arians didn't interrupt me and say I was wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
He knows what the fact. And by the way, Steve, I believe he said that Matt Gay hit the rookie wall. The rookie wall. All he's standing there and kicking a football. Steve, what the heck's going on around there?
Ira, it's the wind in the south end zone. It's brutal. You can't kick there. It's fun.
Well, I'm glad Arians agreed with me, though, Steve, that they got a lot of ground to make up on special teams with the Saints. You know, my guy Rick Goslin, darling of Dallas, one of the most respected NFL writers in the nation, very important in the Hall of Fame process. And Rick and I go back when I started in 1976, UPI New York, in the Daily News building. Rick Goslin was on that staff. And then he moved on to Kansas City and worked with covered Cower and Dungy on that staff. Anyway, he's famous for doing annual special teams awards, and he ranks the teams from 1 to 32 in all these different special teams categories. The Saints were first, and the Bucks were 32nd. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, and that's nothing new, unfortunately. It's been like that before. The Bucks haven't fared well in a long time.
Oh, my gosh. When's the last time they had decent special teams? I guess Chucky in the early 2000s?
I don't know. You know what, Ira? That would be a wonderful thing for you to shoot your buddy Goslin this is an easy column for you, Ira. Shoot him an email and say, hey, can you give me your historical rankings every year for the Bucks? I'm doing a special team story. Beautiful.
Yeah. You just wrote my Friday column for me, Isbeth.
I'm doing your work for you, Ira. Typical, doing your work for you. All right.
And your Monday column ought to be about the Bucks and the Chiefs' new running back who they had their eyes set on.
Keep going, gentlemen. Keep going.
All right, Ira. Now, look, we are glad that you're healthy and going strong. Bruce Arians admitted that his wife's got him locked on lockdown, but at least it's only going to end for him July 21st when he reports back. But
now he's playing golf, Steve. He's playing golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of his quotes was, she lets me play golf.
I was waiting to hear him say, I'm only allowed to go to the liquor store, but he didn't drop that in there, which would have been classic. Hopefully we'll get more time with the coach, which would be nice. So many things.
That's a great question. I can't remember who that was. It was somebody with the Times? Whoever it was, you know, you're up there in years, and this virus.
It was Leo Haggerty. Leo Haggerty, not the Times. The Times.
Right, it was Haggerty. Of all people, Leo Haggerty.
Of all people.
I say that because you usually Leo Haggerty will ask, well, coach, when you stack the inside linebacker on the tackle, and, you know, he gets X's nose heavy, and most people aren't into that. So that for a non-X's nose question, you wouldn't think Leo Haggerty would say it, but he sure did.
Steve, one other factor we don't know about is whether the media is going to be allowed at training camp, and if we're not, it's going to be a tremendous blow because for the entire month of August, I watched the Kemper with that big Panama hat shielding him from the sun, and, you know, it gets my day off to a heck of a start.
Ira, don't worry. If they don't let us in, I've got the drones all set up, the overhead flyovers. We're good. All right, Ira, we're out of here. We'll talk to you soon. Everyone, enjoy the podcast. Subscribe at all the platforms or your platform of choice. Bill Curry Ford is there for you. Drink Big Storm beer this weekend. It's a great beer weekend, isn't everyone? And we'll talk to you soon, Ira.